Welcome to News from the Breach, a Dragon Prince podcast. We are your hosts,
Yana
and Kaylee.
Yay!
Hello. we're happy to be here. And today we're going to talk about chapters 5 and 6 of Book 7, Dark, Sticky Fingers, and Inversion.
Nice.
And I'm just going to get into it and read the synopses, and then we can just start, I think.
Or maybe we start with comments first.
Oh my goodness.
Because we got some.
We have new comments!
Yay!
Okay.
Thank you for everyone who commented. We love reading them, and we didn't answer yet because we are lazy.
We're not lazy, we're just very busy.
Or both. We can also do be both.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, so we got 2 comments on our latest episodes, Half Truths and Secret Tunnels. The first one is from Horst, and we should watch Arcane, or everyone should watch Arcane. And Horst wrote the song text Secret Tunnel, Secret Tunnel, Secret Tunnel, Secret Tunnel, and so on.
Nice.
And thanks for the extra knowledge about the history. Lovely episode. Thank you very much, Horst.
Thanks, Horst. Nice to hear from you again.
Yeah. Always nice to hear from you. And we got a new comment by Sof, the TDP and KOTLC girly. And I didn't know what the first and the last thing was. So I figured out TDP should be the Dragon Prince.
The Dragon Prince. Mm-hmm.
And KOTLC, or should be, Keeper of the Lost Cities.
Okay.
It's a novel series by Shannon Messenger.
Okay.
I have no idea. I don't know it, but hey, if you're girly about it, maybe it's awesome, like TDP.
Might be worth looking into. Yeah. Okay.
And Sof wrote, I really love this podcast. It's great to hear different perspectives. If you guys want to do more podcast episodes, when you finish season 7, you could do little episodes of random things, like go through characters and think about which ice cream flavor they would like best, or a character theme song or something. I don't know.
That sounds nice.
That sounds really nice. Yeah, that's a good idea. And yeah.
Once we get to the end of this season, we can think about what we want to do, but it's nice to have some ideas in the background.
Really? Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also thought today when we're done with this season, and if the Dragon King isn't out yet or whatever, that we could do a kind of roundup episode looking back as well.
Maybe also with guests.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That would be cool, yeah. And we also have Wrapped, so not only the normal people get it on Spotify, but we also get it on Spotify Creator. And maybe we'll put some pictures on the website.
Yeah. Showing us some updates on the podcast and how it's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening, commenting, and making this a pleasure to host.
Yeah, definitely. And it's always a boost to hear from you all.
Nice.
Cool. Then let's get into it.
Yes.
Chapter 5, Sticky Fingers. Desperate to stop Claudia, Terry exposes Aravos' terrible plans. Amaya appeals to Karim one last time, while Callum and Rayla share a peaceful moment. And Chapter 6, Inversion. In a last-ditch effort to change Claudia's mind, Soren surprises her with someone familiar. Back at the Silver Grove, Callum battles his inner darkness.
Du-du-dum.
Very short and sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dragon Prince Wiki.
As always.
For the very short synopses.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to start with Terry today, because Terry kicks off the whole thing.
Yeah.
With a Zuko moment.
Yeah.
Hello, Zuko. Terry here. and Terry's bumbling and practicing with his baby birds. And not a toad.
Aaron and Sam.
Aaron and Sam.
Yeah.
Nice names.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love is good. And it's so good that sometimes you do not good. Etc. Yeah.
How many goods were in this sentence?
1, 2, 3 already. And that was just...
Start.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. There were lots more.
And so it continues. And he got lots of feedback from his Shimmercrow chicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he didn't know which feedback it was.
No.
Because it was a little bit unclear.
Yeah. Was it a yes? Was it a communal no? Who knows? So there we go. But yeah, nice to see Terry. Love the Avatar references as always.
Yeah.
And then we'll just move to the Silver Grove. And we have the family sitting around the table having breakfast, seemingly. Nice place you've got here, Callum says. Again, apparently he's said that every day for the last 2 weeks. Uh-huh. And Rayla accuses him of lying when he's excited about the mush cup, because apparently mush cup is not tasty.
Yeah.
But we've got a funny dynamic going on, because you see like that Runan's all serious and Athari's all open and friendly and and Rayla's there with her kind of new boyfriend and blah blah blah.
And the protective parents and the nervous Callum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's
he wants to make a good impression.
Of course. Yeah. And there's lots of like looks, like lots of kind of glances at each other and stuff. It's it's interesting.
Yeah. Also interesting, Stella eats from the mush cup. So maybe not everyone is disliking it.
Yeah. And later, Sneasels even gets in Callum's bowl
and
finishes off Callum. So apparently the animals like it.
Yeah.
And yeah, and Rayla has the idea that they want to do a forage feast, which is for special occasions and visitors. But Ithari can't because he has moon cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Callum volunteers to take over so that they can go and forage and have a forage feast.
Oh. That sounds nice.
Yeah, because Callum used to look after Ezrin when he was little, so he's got some experience with kids. And I really like this with the moon cubs and like with Papa Pride, Papa Ithari, and you must show Callum complete respect.
Then they head off, and then the cubs are like, "Haha! Now we can attack.
Now we have
the ticker attacks."
Yeah.
Yeah,
and Rayla and Runari head off, and Runari are holding hands while they're walking away, and I found that really nice.
Yeah. Also, this forage feast reminded me of the game Stardew Valley, because every year there's a forage feast where everyone comes together and they cook a huge soup out of 9 ingredients the villagers collected. And there's also one achievement, I think, if you put the violet underpants of the town mayor in the soup, he is a little bit embarrassed.
Okay. How did they get in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. But also purple, like the moonberries, it fits.
Yeah,
cool. All right. So Callum gets inspected by the little elf children. And his face, his hands, and his greasy hair. Like, why do you have this weird little finger? What's it for? And he says that he washes it all the time, and sneezes, and your Glowtoad is allergic to your lies.
So lots of funny moments.
Yeah.
And he has no horns, also important to know.
He has no horns. Yeah, that's right. And the older kid, who's kind of giving Callum a hard time, she gives me totally like Lou Jane vibes. It makes me think, is that like Lou Jane's granddaughter or something? Because she's like got a very similar kind of way about her and a sense of humor, I feel like. Callum says he has powers, and sneezes again, and she's like, lies! And he's like, yeah, he just sneezes. He's not a truth stone, like whatever a truth stone is, but I like it. And then he wants to prove he has powers. And, you know, as a as a fan who's watched everything, you're just expecting him to go like, Aspero!
Yeah, exactly. Like the best spell he has to offer.
Yeah.
Or his huge rings or something.
Yeah.
But no, he chooses tickle-proof magic.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And the kids love it. Yeah. And one of the kids is as well like, oh, magic. Like, it's real magic. It's awesome. It's very good. Yeah. And yeah, like just jumping ahead a little bit in the credits, we see Harrow doing exactly. it just while we're talking about it. And it's so nice that he has that from Harrow and shares it with the kids. It's great. Totally. And he really is good with the kids.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. That was a nice reference.
Yeah, it was lovely. Lovely to, yeah.
King Harrow.
Yeah, lovely to see Harrow again.
And then they ask him, oh, are you in love with someone? With Rayla, maybe? Mm-hmm. Maybe she's more than a friend? And yeah, he's in love. Yeah, you can say so. And then they ask him also, what about the babies, when you have babies? How do they look like? And he's like, yeah, if we have 10 babies, then there will be 10 versions. Because some have horns, some have 5 or 4 fingers, and everything in between. And then Rayla and...
Runari.
Runari come back from the foraging. And they shout, yeah, Rayla, Caleb wants to have 10 babies with you. And everyone is like, what the fuck is going on here? And
great faces. Yeah. Really great faces. Yeah. And Runan's actually not moved at all. Like, Runan's got, like, just the same face, poker face. The whole time. It's just like, And Itharis looks shocked. And Rayla looks shocked. And Stella's there. And Stella even puts her hand over her mouth like, oh. And then Ithari breaks the tension and just starts laughing about it, and it's great. It seems like that's their kind of their dynamic, that Ithari's kind of the diplomat a bit, breaks the ice, but very, very funny. And I love Runan's serious dad thing that he's got going on. It's really, really good.
Yeah, in the next scene, we see all of them together on the table, eating a delicious forage feast meal. And Callum is so full and cannot eat another bite.
Yeah.
But then there's a surprise, because they have Moonberry surprise.
Hooray!
Awesome cake. And of course, no one is too full for a dessert. Because we all have a dessert stomach.
Of course.
Even elves. And then I was asking myself, why is there an animation or something with a muesli cake? What the fuck?
It's extremely weird. Yep. And I was thinking about it afterwards, and I was just like, okay, in the context of everything else that's going on in this episode, I think that it's supposed to be like, okay, here's the fun silliness, because things are going to get really hard. But I don't know if they went too far. Like, it's probably referencing something we don't know as well, I imagine.
I thought of something like Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's extremely silly. And I also didn't know how to take it. Actually, it's a bit like, oh, God.
And we also have Callum Pac-Man.
Yeah.
When he's eating the berries. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know the reference, but there has to be someone.
There must be, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, it's just very silly. I think they just, they wanted to bring the silliness in hard because of the kind of harder topics coming.
Or is the cake spiked with drugs?
With drugs.
You know?
I think it maybe is. I mean, that's the surprise side of it, right? That it makes you hallucinate weird muscly pieces of pie. I don't know. But yeah, it was funny. But please don't do it again. It was enough once. So we get that, and then Stella and Sneasels.
Nice.
Are snoozing on the table, and Callum and Rayla are enjoying the view. And it seems like Callum actually ended up eating 2 pieces of the pie. Even though he was already full. And Callum thinks he could do this, like the family thing, settling down in the Silver Grove and be with Rayla.
And the 10 kids.
The 10 kids. And it would be a pretty nice life. And then they lay and look at the moon, and obviously in this moment of thinking like, oh, I could settle like this, Astrid arrives.
Oh. So not bad that she arrives, but something is disturbing them.
Yeah, it's like, okay, no settling is going to occur right now. Yeah. The fallen star has returned to bring darkness to the whole world.
Da-da-dim.
Great that she finally found them. It's taken a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken a good couple of episodes since she went off by herself. But yeah, she made it, and that's awesome.
It's good that they have some information about it, because they didn't know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would not eat so much mooncake.
Yeah, true.
Moonberries.
I feel like while we're watching it, like I forgot that they didn't know at points as well. Because it's because we're like, oh my god, there's so much crazy stuff going on with Erebus, and
it's known to us.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah. Then let's move on to the Banta Lodge.
A crow flies in with a scroll in its claws, and Ezrin is chilling in front of the fire with Zim and Bait and the Baitlings, who are sleeping on Bait, which I found cute. And it's nice here, you see how much Zim has grown.
Yeah.
Because Zim hardly fits on the sofa, actually.
No.
It's cute. And then we get the crow. What is he?
Assistant Crow Lord.
That's it. The Assistant Crow Lord. And he's looking for a promotion. Like, I don't know how much higher you can get apart from being the Crow Lord.
Assistant Manager to the Crow Lord.
Yeah.
Like the reference to the office.
The office, yeah. And that he says that Ez is top of the org chart.
Yeah. Am I?
We have an org chart. And then he reads the scroll, and it's Anya, and there's a blue seal on it. It seems like Anya stamps with blue wax, and Project Ruby Fire is making great progress, which makes Zim nervous. But Ez reassures Zim that it's just for defense. But I'm thinking like, oh, we've heard that before. There's this whole, like, the Cold War and, you know, in real life with countries being like, yeah, we're going to have all these weapons, but we'll never use them, you know? It's just so that no one attacks us. Like, the cycle of violence continues.
Mm-hmm.
And Zim nuzzles Ez. And then Opelli comes and says that there's an Earthblood elf to see Ezrin, and Zim growls because Zim recognizes Terry, but Ez doesn't.
And he doesn't know him.
He doesn't know him, and Terry starts with like love and blah, and Opelli's like,
actually, we don't
get
have
to
time.
The point. What is this about? And then Terry explains why he's there and that he's changing sides. And he tries to do the, like, yeah, trees to meet you.
Yeah.
And the guards kind of, like, pull him back, like, whoa there.
Not so fast.
Whoa there. Yeah. We don't know really what's going on here. Yeah.
It's a little bit awkward. And he tries it also with and without classes.
Yeah.
Because he practiced it, like, with and without.
Yeah, and he seems to just be, he's extremely nervous, obviously, but like, yeah, just, he didn't do a very good job of explaining himself, but he tried, and he was expecting everyone to recognize him, and they're in like the throne room then, or the conference room in the Banta Lodge, and then Sorin walks in, he's like, salad guy! Sorin knows him.
Yeah.
Because he got trapped by Terry, didn't he? And dragged around by Viren and Claudia for a bit.
Yeah, but why salad guy?
Salad guy.
Because he looks so green, or what?
No, when it happened, there was some reference to salad, like because of all the leaves and stuff, and that Terry could do like salad magic or something. I have to look it up. That's why. Yeah.
Okay.
And because Soren was like, I eat salads, like vegetables are really good for you, you know. Like, I think there was one of those kind of conversations with them. Mm-hmm. And then there's a confusing interaction with them because Soren's all like, you dumped my sister. And, oh, finally figured out you're on the wrong side. Took long enough. And then goes back to being pissed at him. And they're both very confused.
Yeah. Really funny. Of course, with Soren, it's always a little bit lightening up.
Yeah, we love you, Soren.
Oh.
Yeah, and Terry says, I'll only tell you what Claudia and Aravos are up to if...
Mm-hmm.
Aravos?
What the fuck?
Oh, you didn't know, did you? That Aravos is free.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
Again.
Yeah. Ez writes to Anya, red stamp,
mm-hmm.
and Sorvus follow Terry to see what he's really up to.
Mm-hmm.
Stop right there! You're collecting worms for dark magic, aren't you? Or fishing?
But it's just Aaron and Sam.
Yay!
Cool. Actually, I wrote down Corvin.
Corvin?
Yeah.
I think I have German. Sometimes I have Corvin and sometimes I have Sorvus.
Okay, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
Both good.
Yeah. And so they see, okay, it's just for the birds, the birdlings. And then Terry explains Aravos killed the mother and Terry wants to do everything better now. But Soren still doesn't trust him because nobody is this charming and nice.
I love that as well. There's like, nah. Got his arms crossed, just like, mm-mm, no way.
But it's a nice compliment.
Yeah.
And then he gets a return compliment because he is also very strong and loyal. And yeah, that makes him a little bit more trustworthy, I think, towards Terry. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I really needed to hear that today. Yeah. I am very strong and loyal. That's right.
And then we have the special ability of Esrin because the twins just chirped to him. What's going on? And the outcome is that Sam said he is kind and loving and finds the best worms. And Aaron is like, same. And his farts also smell like the damp ground after a rainy day. And yes, that's true.
Petrichor.
Very nice.
Indeed. Yeah. It's nice to get some Esrin using his animal powers.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened for a while, I feel like. Yeah, and then there comes the Sapsware.
No, but Thorn is still not so convinced.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it could also be a sap trap and Corvus has to check it. But no, it's just regular sap.
Mm-hmm.
And then they swear, or Esrin swears that they will not harm Claudia. And then there comes the hard part, because the separation of the hands is a little bit hard with the sap.
The separation.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Very good.
Yeah, tricky. But then the animals sort it out. It seems like they lick the sap off their hands and they're free.
Mm-hmm.
And then Terry says very quickly that Claudia and Aravos want to invert the nexus and release the beings from the in-between.
A normal thing to do, of course.
Yeah. And Soren's like, no! Oh, no! Oh, what does that mean? And then we get a bit more of an explanation. They're angry, tormented souls, and it gets worse. They can't live in the light of day. Oh, guess what? Aravos is also going to go to Luxoria and corrupt the sun and make eternal night.
Oh, cool. Also a normal thing to do.
Yeah. But new information for us. I don't think we knew that.
Oh, true. Yes. So, now that you said it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because obviously I couldn't watch further than this episode.
Yeah.
Or the next one. and it's just a release of the spirit.
Yeah.
But yeah, the corruption of the sun. Yeah, okay, now that you said it.
Yeah.
True, true, true.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely new information. Yeah. So it's good. It's good that we get a bit more information from Terry. Yeah.
Also, it's interesting that they go to two places then, you know, first the moon nexus and then Luxuria.
Yeah.
And then, oh my God, Karim will join them or something.
Oh God.
Oh my God.
Karim. Yeah, we're going to get to him in a little bit. Yeah. Lots of stuff going on. Yeah, and then when he says that with the with Luxuria and stuff, it's like, okay. Because then it brings Amaya and Janai back in as well. Cause,
true.
Yeah, it's good to have them in the story. Yeah. but also shitty that that's going to happen.
No.
Yeah, scary, obviously.
Yeah.
So there we go. Bit more information. And yeah, Terry seems to be trustworthy, and that's it. But Terry says that love drives Claudia, and they're trying to come up with a plan of how to stop her then if they can't hurt her. And then we get the idea that Lyssa, they could find Lyssa, Soren and Claudia's mum, and that she could help to kind of soften Claudia's heart.
Yeah.
And get her to make better decisions. But that doesn't seem like an option. Soren hasn't talked to her since she left, and he wouldn't know how to find her. But he does have a picture of her in his sleeve, which is very cute.
It's really cute, because first he said, okay, he didn't see her for like, what, 15 years or something? Yeah. And they only know Bel La or something as a location.
Delbar,
yeah. And then he has a picture of the family. That's really nice.
Yeah.
And really cute. And yeah. Corvus did know because he encourages Soren to release the photo.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really nice. It's, I always love Sovus Corvin moment. And yeah, it's just, I love their friendship relationship. It's awesome.
True.
And then we get the picture of them. And it's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it shows that Soren is like a family person, because he has it with him the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
It's like not like, okay, I have it in my locker somewhere.
Yeah.
No. Attached to his body.
Yeah.
That's cute.
It is. Yeah, he carries it with him. Yeah. I guess it's also symbolic. He carries it also like with him on his heart all the time.
Yeah.
And then
true.
Also has the picture.
Let's move to Luxuria. Amaya visits Karim, and we learned that she came on her own. So Janai didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we also learn again that Karim is not in agreement of their marriage. He says something like a new wife and, you know, like,
yeah.
Humans.
And Queen Amaya.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And no, Amaya is here to save his posterior.
But she used another word, which yes. Gren would not say.
Yeah.
And Karim is just being Karim. Here to save me. Oh, how generous. Blah, blah, blah. And Amaya says, it's not like he thinks. And she had to work hard to unravel her own prejudices that she learnt, and hopes that Karim can do the same. But Karim's like, we're different. Your beliefs come from fear and mine from knowledge. Mm-hmm. Humans are vermin. They take and take until our history and culture are dust in the desert wind. Human queen of the Sunfire Elves.
Yeah.
It's not nice. And Amaya, with that last thing, the human queen of the Sunfire Elves, you see her expression change as well, like that she's like, yeah, I am human queen of the Sunfire Elves, you know? Yeah, he's just cruel and bigoted and
stubborn.
Yeah.
Like, where does this knowledge come from? From his mind? Like, is it a fact for his himself, or is it a known fact? You know, like, what the fuck?
I think it comes from probably this history that we learned about in the last, that we talked about in the last podcast episode, with like the humans kind of used magic and ravaged the land and all of that.
So, Mage Wars.
Yeah. Mm. So I think it probably comes from that.
Yeah, okay. History.
But it doesn't mean that people can't change. Oh. And that's not, yeah, that's what he doesn't see. Oh. And Amaya's just like, hate me if you want, but Janai really cares about you. Oh. And she's given so much for everyone to be safe and happy with the ones that we love and with family. And then Mianna arrives.
Yeah. To speak some sense to him. You yeah. know? Like, come on, get a grip.
And like, to get him to realize, you know, they lost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's it.
Get over it.
And Mianna is allowed to live and have her baby and stuff. And mm-hmm. she wants to convince Karim to do the same. You know, let's have a family. You know, let's... That didn't work, but we can still have that. We can have each other.
This dream of being together and having a happy family.
Yeah. And I liked the scene change because as we're looking at the family picture from Sorin, the scene changes to Mianna and Karim hugging.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that's how they could be.
Yeah.
It was an interesting
and visual. She also says he should fight for her and their baby and not for his title or whatever.
Know? Yeah, and he's talking about his heir. Yeah, true. And Mianna's offended about that. And like,
what? No.
You think of our baby just as like a figure for the future, you know, and not like a person. And she says that her dreams have changed and that she dreams of a healthy, happy child who is loved. And this is a dream that we can have, you know?
Yeah.
Stay alive for me and our baby.
Like, if you think about it, so he expects his baby to be the heir. And at what age? Like, maybe 12 or something?
Mm-hmm.
And then what about the in-between? Like, from birth to 12?
Yeah.
It's like...
Just being prepared for leadership or like, whatever.
Love your... child, you know? What the fuck?
Yeah, he's only interested in the kid for moving on his plans.
Yeah,
like
this will not disturb the kid at all, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, it's dark and and he's like hugging Mianna and stuff, and then he has his head on her belly. Who knows if he's gonna change? I don't think so, but we'll see. No. Yeah.
As I maybe suggested, Karim will then join the evil.
The evil coming their way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, could be. Yeah. Good that I don't remember.
Yeah.
And I wanted to mention his handcuff gloves. He has, like, not just handcuffs, but they're, like, gloves... like metal gloves that his hands are completely trapped in.
Yeah.
One thought I have was like, how does he go to the toilet then? Because he can't do anything. Like he definitely couldn't pull his trousers down or something. Yeah. Bit awkward. But I'm guessing they did it because he's a mage.
Yeah.
And maybe if his hands were free, he could do magic.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the other thing was he has this scar on his face. And I was looking at it and I wondered if he'd always had the scar or if it was like significant, if we saw it happen. And we did. He got scarred by Amaya after Karim had kidnapped Janai with Pharos.
Mm-hmm.
And actually Amaya scarred his face with Janai's sword.
Interesting.
So it's very much like an Amaya and Janai scar on his face. So it's like this physical...
manifestation
of of the stuff he's carrying and the hatred for what Janai and Amaya stand for.
Interesting.
And he's scarred with it on his face, on his stupid face. Yeah. That's it for that episode, for that chapter. Do you have an MVP?
Yes. Terry.
Terry, yeah. I've got Terry circled on my page. I've got like Astrid question mark. But actually Terry, now I'm convinced after we've had this conversation, because of this, like Terry telling them about the Luxoria plan.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
But the Luxoria plan especially, because like even we didn't know that.
True. Yeah. True.
So thank you, Terry.
Yeah. And that's Astrid, awesome. Astrid has just said to Rayla and Callum that the fallen star has returned, nothing else.
Yeah.
I'll bring darkness to the whole world. Yeah, okay. Mm.
So she does say it, but you don't know what it means.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's more, what's the word?
I just thought it was the release of the evil spirit. Like the evil spirits.
The evilness.
The dark spirits will darken the world. Like just being there.
Yeah, same. Yeah, that's what I thought as well. Yeah, but I mean, the combination of Terry and Astrid then is awesome. Like team Tastrid, because they informed the masses, you know? Like without them, neither of our hero teams would have known.
True.
But Terry wins. Yeah, definitely.
That's the bigger part.
And overarching themes, I've got love and family.
Yeah.
And the... Yeah, do you have anything else?
One jelly tart and then the title.
Mm-hmm.
So the last jelly tart I had was Moonrary Surprise. It's even more surprising the second time around.
Yeah. Very good. And the title, Sticky Fingers...
Yeah, I had obviously the Sep Swear, and also because of the 10 babies, maybe some have 4 fingers and a stick, you know, like the sticks Callum used to be an elf.
Yeah.
Like
sticky fingers, like he had sticky horns, made of sticks. Just for one of our listeners, what's brown and sticky? Just had to say it. You know who you are.
should we answer it?
Yeah, go ahead. What's brown and sticky, Jana?
A stick. I love it. And I had it also in my notes.
Yeah, high five. Nice. Very good. Awesome. Yeah. Sticky fingers. And I think we have an episode title with separation. Like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
Works.
Yeah. Very good.
Cool. Nice. All right. Okay. We just have the credits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have dumb picture of Soren, Claudia, Vern, and Lisa.
Dumb?
Yeah, because Soren said it was dumb.
Oh, Soren. Then we've got Rayla throwing an apple to...
Hunan and Ithari.
Yeah. Nice.
So they have a little bit of fun in the forest.
Yeah. Then we've got Stella putting Moonberry Pie into her portal.
Yeah. Then we have the reference we said earlier, King Harry and the ticket-proof magic trick. But he's shaking.
he's shaking. He's really flexed. Yeah. Yeah. And then we've got Moonberry Pie muscle flex.
So awesome.
Yeah. So we've got the Harrow muscle flex and then we've got the Moonberry Pie muscle flex. Yeah. Maybe Moonberry Pie. Yeah. Moonberry
surprise.
Pie surprise makes you tickle proof.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
We don't know.
All right. I definitely want to try some.
If you have a suggestion, what this is about, you know, the enemy?
No idea.
No.
Oh, to the listeners. Yes, yeah. Listeners. If you know what it is, let us know.
No.
All right.
Oh, yeah. And I also want to try something like this.
Yeah, it looks delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the muesli version, but the actual baked version looked awesome.
Yeah, like we eat it and then we have this anime thing. animation going on.
And then we'll understand why.
Yeah.
what it means. What does it mean? So we'll move on to the next chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 6, Inversion. So let's start with the Moon Nexus. We have Claudia and Aravos approaching the Nexus. I want to say the mountain is called like Mount Calic or something.
Could be.
Remember it from the beginning, which is the tallest mountain, I think.
That was it. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And Aravos admits that he doesn't lie, but he often tells half-truths, and that he doesn't actually believe that Viren's spirit is really in the in-between.
Mm-hmm.
Claudia knew that Viren was at peace and had no unfinished business.
Oh.
So she knew all along. Then why are you here? And then she asks...
Good question.
Why are you here?
Yeah.
And we get a speech from him that the cosmic order must be torn down for Leola, his sweet baby girl. And that she was cast to her death to protect the cosmic order. And it's only fitting that he delivers their fear and the great unraveling in Leola's name.
Yeah.
I don't think it's what Leola would have wanted, actually. But
so, like, destroying everything just for revenge?
Yeah.
Wait. Way to go.
And
maybe Claudia is just bored or what? Why is she like in this game?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Or she's too deep in already and cannot get out of it.
Yeah, and she's also hurting and I don't know. And she trusts Aravos. I think she does have this like kind of father figure thing going on with him. But it does seem a bit extreme when he's like, I want them to hurt because I have a wound that will never heal and I will suffer forever. And he wants them to hurt, you know? And Claudia's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, let's do it. But it's like, I don't know. I guess she just feels the same way. But the reasons she's hurting doesn't seem as big. Like, why does she want to kind of destroy the whole world, you know?
Yeah.
Like, sure, her mom left her when she was little and all this stuff with Viren and whatever. But it seems a bit out of proportion.
Yeah, totally. And one thing I didn't understand, she said something about fess up to fib.
Yeah.
Do you know what it means?
That means to admit you told a lie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a fib is another word for lie.
Okay.
And to fess up is to confess.
Yeah. Okay. That I knew, but I searched for a fib and then I was just finding a fibrillator, you know, this thing to revive someone.
Yeah.
It was a bit unclear.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah. So they're on their way up to the Moon Nexus, up this to the steps. And it's nice in this chapter, you've got like the half moon in the background kind of the whole time, which is, yeah, scenery and stuff is really nice. And then Claudia senses people and she says, come out. And who comes out? Sorin and Corvus?
Terry.
Ah, yeah. That's it, yeah.
And then Aeros says, it's just a minor inconvenience, and steps forward and, like, wants to get rid of them or something. It's a little bit dark. And Claudia is like, no, let me handle this. And she talks to Sorin and Terry, and Sorin says, yeah, we won't hurt you. And lays down his sword, and now it's your turn to lay down Dad's staff. And she's like, no, that's not Dad's staff anymore, it's mine now.
Yeah.
And I have work to do, and proceeds to climb up the stairs.
Yeah. Dark.
Yeah.
And how she kind of like pops out the staff, like how she extends it as well in a threatening way.
And completely ignores Terry on the way.
Yeah.
Like, he's not there.
Yeah. I mean, when they said, we won't hurt you, Claudia, you know? And she's like, a little too late for that. And that's totally all aimed at Terry as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then, yeah, she knocks Soren's sword out of the way with her feet on her way past as well. And she climbs the stairs, and then her mom appears and talks a lot to Claudia.
Yeah, she should have stayed and be there for her.
Yeah.
And maybe she could have stopped her from going down this dark path, and maybe also Vern. I don't know. And maybe Claudia can forgive her now and maybe hug her even. And then we hear this remark of, you look a little bit like the same, like last time I remember you. Maybe too exactly. And then she uses Umbra Dolor, translated to shadow pain, and conjures up a dagger. And stabs her mom, or as we now know, Lu Jane. And yeah.
And Alan
lifts the spell.
Yeah. And Alan sees Lu Jane on the floor and runs over and scoops her up. Scoops her up with Anya. Janie! Nice nickname.
Yeah.
And Claudia's just like, it's been 15 years. Like, of course she would have aged and changed and stuff.
Yeah.
And Terry's like, what did you do? And she's just like, here to judge me, Captain Trueheart. But he doesn't judge her. He loves her, you know?
Yeah.
And he thought that she would have a change of heart and stop what she was doing. Meanwhile, Lu Jane is like sparking with dark magic. And then Alan is just like furious and slashes at Claudia with his sword. And she reacts very quick and freezes them in place. And the sword is like a centimeter from her neck.
Yeah. She uses ties of blood.
Ties of blood. And Aravos walks through, like, well done, Claudia. And there's a tear rolling down Terry's cheek, and they can all see what's happening. They're very much there. They're just frozen in space. But, like, I just have to say, why didn't they age her? Like, maybe Lu Jane can't adapt. Maybe she just has to do what she's seen or something. But it was a bit, I don't know, they already tricked Claudia with, like, Lu Jane already tricked Claudia when they came to the Nexus in season two. So I'm sure Claudia and Aravos, they're like, okay, we're going to the Moon Nexus, and they know that Lu Jane's the guardian, that there's probably going to be some sort of like magical trickery. It seems like it's nice that they tried, but it's like,
true.
She's pretty smart, like, and she saw straight through it. But the stabbing I found unnecessary.
Yeah, totally.
Like, she didn't have to stab her. No. She can just be like, hey, Lu Jane,
push her away or something.
This is some BS.
But yeah, maybe, like you said, maybe she can't do this altering stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
That she can do illusions, but
yeah,
only of like actual,
yeah,
actual stuff. Yeah, it's a bit of a shame. I've got one thing in my notes that Claudia's like, I'm not an idiot, and it just totally reminded me of Nancy from Ghosts. Like, I'm watching Ghosts right now, and Nancy, I think she said it a few times, like, I'm not an idiot. And it's like exactly like the tone and everything. I found it funny. All right, let's move on. So Claudia does the spell, and the dead Shimmer Crow mommy comes out of the bag, all purple and glowy.
The spell is called Let Loss and Grief Unlock Death.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the moon primal stone that they created turns to a half moon. And the bird lifts like a cover off the lake.
Yeah.
It looks a bit like a blanket or something.
This is another spell. So she used four spells, I guess. This is called Spiritus Clavis Aperta. Open the key of the spirits. then the veil lifts. It's like a massive cover of this of the sea,
yeah,
or lake. Looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this. Oh, this Harry Potter's the invisibility cloak.
Ah, it does look like the invisibility cloak. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Okay.
And then she uses Morse Spiralis, Death Spiral, to release all the trapped, evil spirits with unfinished business.
Mm-hmm. And the lake turns into like a spirally yin-yang kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Inter's Forest inside the doors. And no, this is the release of the birds.
Yeah, spirits. Then they come out. Yeah,
true. Yeah.
The spiralis is the yin-yang thing. Yeah. And then light shoots out and spirits start to emerge and we see emerge and there's elves, there's humans, there's
dragons,
these dark anglerfish monsters from the quest season.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There's a lot of those.
Yeah, totally. There are a lot of creatures.
I want to call them cave crawlers. Yeah, so they were the creatures that were chasing them in the dark when they were doing the quests through the caves. I can't remember
properly. I wrote down Demigorgon because we're watching Stranger Things now.
So we'll just call them Demigorgons.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I'm not sure.
Okay. But they keep coming up and I was just a bit irritated because there were so many of them coming out of the Nexus. And I was like, okay, is it just in their nature to always have unfinished business? Because, like, there was so many of them.
But it's also from the upside down, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The in-between.
Yeah.
Yeah. To the right side up.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
And then we have one creature. I don't know it. So it's one of the last ones. It is kneeling in front of Eros. And then Eros whispers something to it.
Yeah.
We can't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do something.
Yeah.
And takes the staff of Eros.
Mm-hmm.
And then flies away on a shadow dragon. What the actual fuck?
Yeah. Can I show you something?
Sure.
Okay, I'm showing Yana a picture of someone. Do you recognize this guy?
Yeah. It's one of the first Dark Mage. Or it's the first Dark Mage.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And look at what he's wearing.
It's him.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So I just, I looked it up earlier because I was also interested. I was like, is that Ziad? And I found a living picture of Ziad to compare it to. We can put it in the show notes. And it's the same clothes. Like, obviously, the face is gone. But, it's the same clothes and the circle thing that he has on his chest and stuff. And then it's like, okay. So they know each other. And he's the one who kind of started all the dark magic stuff.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Krass. Well, actually, Aravos started it.
Yeah.
With him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hope that's not too much of a spoiler, but you can see it like if you're looking close.
And then makes also sense because he got the staff also from Eros.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like, here you go.
Again.
Here's another staff for you. Yeah.
Crazy.
And he rides off on his dragon, shadow dragon, dark dragon.
Yeah, then we learn that there's still a threat left.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Archdragon, I don't know, Supea.
Oh. Yeah.
And we learn that Claudia's amulet is actually a scale of Shiruak, maybe a dragon also.
Seems like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This will protect her. Then she also gets wings and flies away.
She's gotten very good at that, batwing spell. Yeah. Off she goes.
And this lifts the spell from the others, so they unfreeze.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know if it's because of the distance.
Yeah, it's off the distance.
Yeah. And then she's not got an influence on them anymore.
Yeah.
They unfreeze and Anya shoots Aravos in the neck.
Yeah. And he exclamation mark, dies.
Yeah, evaporates into black dust, leaving his horrible, very uncomfortable looking outfit just like rumpled on the floor. Crumpled on the floor, I would say. And yeah, and he says, this form is but a vessel. Yeah. And yeah.
And then Lujain will be okay thanks to Alan's messages. Massages.
His messages.
Maybe also messages, but also massages.
Yeah.
And then we also have a dragon and a Demogorgon appear, and they will, everything will get shot by Anya.
Yeah. She killed the dragon with like 3 arrows. Mm. And then I think they just ran away from the angler creature I've got, but the Demogorgon. They run away because I guess she doesn't have that many arrows.
Yeah.
And if it took 3 to take down one creature. Yeah. Uh-huh. And the Moon Nexus is all quiet.
And then we have someone else emerging.
Hello, Sir Sparklepuff.
He also has unfinished business, apparently.
Yeah. And he is sitting on a statue and then he like screams at the camera.
Oh. Yeah. But he smiles.
He smiles.
So at least one half-friendly creature.
Yeah. And he's like, he loves Claudia.
Yeah.
But he's also, he was like half Viren.
Yeah.
One of Viren's babies.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting turn of events. And nice to see Sparklepuff again.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it was pretty dark. His end.
Okay, then let's move to maybe a better place, the Silvergrove.
Astrid explains that Cosmo saw what was going to happen,
mm-hmm.
and that the real Pearl was in Catullus all along,
mm-hmm.
Which is not possible. And then she says that it was candy and they ate it. And Callum is just broken. Oh, it's all my fault. And Rayla reminds him that he must have been controlled by Aravos. Like, it's not Callum's fault. But that, unfortunately, just makes him feel worse.
Mm-hmm.
And he's panicking. And then he sees his dark face in his reflection
mm-hmm.
in the fountain. And then he flies off because he needs some time.
Alone.
By himself.
Oh, yeah.
Not alone.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And then he lands and he's talking to himself, holding the key of Aravos while he's talking. And then who comes along? But Dark Callum comes out of the shadow, which is just, it's Callum with the dark face and his white hair.
Mm-hmm.
He has a cape with a hood, which is the difference. And they have a chat.
And he wanted to be by himself, and that's what's going on there.
Yeah.
He's still him.
He's still him.
Yeah.
And Callum's like, this can't be possible. I filled myself with light and got rid of the darkness. And Dark Callum says, but I've always been a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't created by dark magic. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks, so how's your book? The Book of Destiny that you write yourself. And apparently the latest chapter wasn't so good.
Mm.
And Callum says, I will never be you. But Dark Callum says, we both know I'm the only one that can save them all.
Mm-hmm.
And if you love them, you'll do anything to save them, even sacrifice your sense of right and wrong.
However dangerous, however vile. Where did we have this?
This sentence. Yeah. Thanks, Viren. So then Dark Callum brings out the cursed coin and mm-hmm. is like, why did you save it if you weren't planning to use it? And it seems like you can only put someone in a cursed coin with dark magic.
Mm-hmm.
And Callum thinks about it and is looking in his book. And then he says that courageous people, elves and dragons can do the right thing without dark magic. Oh. And he can too. And he says he's got a plan.
Yeah.
After holding up the amulet for breathing underwater, I don't know if that's relevant, but yeah.
Interesting.
And Astrid, we go back to Astrid and Rayla, and they're Astrid's worrying about Callum's reaction because Cosmo was like, yeah, Cosmo knew that when Callum found out about this, that he would freak out.
No. But Rayla is calm. She's not worrying.
Yeah, she's
that's,
like...
That's like she has complete trust in Callum.
Yeah,
that's nice.
He needs his process and he'll be all right. And then Astrid compliments the wise creatures. And then as soon as Callum's back, Rayla jumps up and knocks Stella into the fountain. This wise creature. Yeah. Oh, Callum's here. And I have a plan.
Yeah. And then now Astrid will tell him everything Cosmo saw.
Yeah.
So, finally.
Yeah. And I know this episode's not over. It's quite a big tangent I'm going to go on, but I'm just going to go for it. I'm a bit frustrated that Rayla's just in this, like, girlfriend role.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I find it a bit of a shame.
And not in the warrior role, right?
Exactly. So there's this stuff going on, but then it's all about Callum and what Callum's going to do. And Callum comes up with a plan. And not that they're, like, doing it together as the warrior and the mage and as this, like, power couple. But it's very much, like, Callum-focused. And not just this chapter, but the last one as well, with all the Callum settling into the Silver Grove and, like, thinking about having a family. And it was all just about Callum, Callum, Callum. Like, what's Rayla thinking? Is she enjoying having him there? Like, what's... We don't see that. And I thought about it and I was like, would these two episodes pass the Bechdel test? I don't think so.
She said something, but it was not with another female person.
Yeah, she talked to Astrid.
Yeah, okay, but maybe...
But only about Callum.
Yeah, totally.
And it's like... Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just kind of really saw it then. Once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it for these two chapters. And I was just like, no, don't make Rayla just into this supportive girlfriend. She's like a really active person and an active player in this series. And I felt like I don't want to criticize the writers too much. I'm sure it's hard writing this stuff, but it could have been written a little bit differently, that Rayla had more of a role in all of this stuff, and not just this, like, oh, she's the girlfriend. She's going off gathering food and, you know.
Be the housewife. Yeah, exactly.
It made me feel a bit, like, a bit sad. And then I went on a bit of a rabbit hole and was looking at the different episodes and how they were rated and stuff. And this season is rated the worst. Mm. Also, maybe on a par with the quest season.
Yeah.
Like, everything's about 7, like, within the 7s rated.
Mm-hmm.
And the best seasons, they had, like, 9.3, I think, was the best. Yeah. So, you know, they've done some really good stuff. And I was just looking at the list of writers, and it was, like, almost all men, you know.
There we go.
And I'm like... Where's Devon Geale? Maybe she could have kind of pointed these two chapters in a slightly different direction.
Thanks, Trump.
I don't know. But yeah, like I say, I still really like this series. I'm just a little disappointed. Like, there's something a little bit missing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And it's a shame because...
Could have been better.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Also, Anya is just supporting role, you know, like...
Exactly. She's the nurse in that situation.
Yeah.
Yes, she shoots Aravos's vessel with an arrow, but she's all, like, caring. She's also in this caring for Jane mode, while Alan stands with his sword and, like, attacks Claudia, you know? Like, and also Lu Jane And she's pretending to be this mother, you know? Like, and that's her role as this mother in the episode. I don't know. I just feel sorry for these very strong female characters in these two chapters because they get a bit of a bad deal.
Yeah.
And Apelle as well. She's like opening the doors.
Delivering letters.
And stuff.
I also wrote down, like, I asked myself, why did Esrin gave Apelle the letter? Didn't we have the assistant manager of the Crow Lord? You know, like, what's going on there?
Yeah.
He just got promoted. Do your job.
Apelle, get this to Anya.
Yeah.
And Apelle's like, this isn't my job. I have way more important things to do. I have a list of like 100 things I need to do right now, and you want me to deliver a letter.
That's below my pay grade.
Thank you, Ez. Yeah. Okay. So I've had my rant, I've had my tangent. I know all listeners, you're also fans of the show and stuff. I just have to say this stuff because it was bothering me.
It's like we said in one of the first episodes with the one creator, there is something real going on there, you know, like, not good.
Yeah.
Please be better.
Be better, like, and if they are working on the Dragon King and stuff, you know, like...
Again, King.
Dragon King, exactly. Like, but, like, you know, maybe you could take these little criticisms and work on it. I mean, the show is great and inclusive and stuff like that. Like, let's just
but
ramp it up.
It's
even more.
It's gotten worse, you know, like we see it in the real world, you know, right wing shit and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So please be the opposite.
Yeah.
Please be supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, we're spoiled with the queerness and stuff of the show. But yeah, I mean, season 3 ended on that amazing battle and Anya came in and saved everyone, you know. I was like, let's have more of that, please. And not just Callum comes up with a plan. No, Callum's gonna save the world.
No.
Yeah.
No, 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 totally.
We love Callum, but he's not the only one here.
We love Raylan.
Raylan, yeah. Definitely. So
please be together and then do your job as mage and warrior.
Yeah. Okay, rant over.
But yeah, a little bit. So I still have anger in me now.
Yeah, I've riled you up. All right. So let's move on to the Valley of the Graves, which is very short.
Yeah. So as soon as Averroes vanishes on one side of the world, he rises up on the other side of the world. He's not an island anymore.
Yeah.
He's this big, big, huge creature in the lake. And we see on the bottom, in the bones of the...
Of Sol Regum.
Of Sol Regum, we see Esrin, Bait, and Sim appear and just stare at him.
Yeah.
And then he just laughs at them because... Yeah, it's tiny compared to him.
And he does the evil laugh, the like just a proper evil.
Yeah, true. And as it's like, open fire. And then we have the phase one, the ruby attacks.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, ballista firing ruby scorpions at him.
Yeah.
And Ezrin's telling them to go for his right side and all of this. Phase two, I don't have in my notes.
Yeah, it's a chain on the ground, so Averroes stumbles over the chain because he is attacked and cannot see properly.
Yeah.
And then lands on his face.
That's it. Yeah. And then phase three, they chain him down completely.
Yeah.
And then we have this nice moment of Averroes like staring at Ez and seeing the reflection in his eye.
Yeah.
And he's just like, we are not afraid of you.
Yeah.
And down he goes.
And this is David and Goliath.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, really cool image with this like giant and then mm-hmm. the little kid just like staring in his face. Yeah, the
crazy.
The chains don't fill me with confidence, I have to say. Mm. But
he lays there and also he when he was not intertwined with the chains mm-hmm. at first, he had some difficulties standing up.
Ah, okay. Hmm.
So the rubies must have hurt him.
Yeah.
And I think he's too weak now, actually,
okay.
to get up.
Yeah.
So maybe the chains will hold.
I hope so. Do you have an MVP?
Yes. Maybe Anya, I wrote down because of the ruby.
Because of the ruby. Yeah, that's good.
Then I have Astrid / Callum / question mark.
Yeah.
So, but if we have this anger in mind, then I would vote for Anya and Astrid.
Yeah. I want it to be Astrid and Anya.
Yeah.
Because of everything. And what, like with the rubies, I hadn't thought of that. That's a big move on Anya's part.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it could be Anya. I'm worried that it's Claudia because she actually
did everything.
Made all the shizzle happen.
True. She did all the spells.
Yeah.
Eros did nothing.
And she's playing a very powerful role. And she kind of won this in this chapter. True. So I'm kind of, yeah. I would like it to be Anya, but I think it's Claudia.
Yeah. Yeah. If we vote for dark people also.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can say
I agree.
Anya and Astrid for the heroes and Claudia for...
Yeah.
For the baddie side.
Yeah.
She's pretty pretty badass.
Yeah.
And ruthless.
Yeah.
And cruel.
Yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Title?
Right. Title. Yeah. Inversion.
So I have lots of inversions.
Yes.
I have Illusion Spell by Toby Lissa. This is a inversion for mm-hmm. me. I have the Time Freeze. I have Dark Callum versus Normal Callum.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Moon on Claudia's staff.
Yep.
I have Vessel Aroros versus Real Aroros.
Yep.
So everything's upside down.
Yeah, and the two sides of the same coin.
True.
The cursed coin.
Everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's also the overarching themes. Like it's all of that. These other sides to everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've also got for introductions, we see Lissa for the first time. Like for
real.
For real, but it's not for real. But yeah, we've not really had much interaction with Lissa, apart from in Viren's stories, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've seen her before. But yeah.
Yeah. And I have Shirak.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea who this is.
Probably a dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unknown yet.
And I've got as well the skeleton Ziyard.
The what? Okay. Mm.
The mage.
Yeah.
The skeleton mage who's now got Aravos' stuff. Jelly tarts. I'm talking to myself. Yes, you am.
That's nice. Yes. Okay, credits.
Yeah.
I have... I wrote down character with unfinished business. Now it's clear it's Ziyad.
Mm-hmm. We've got the last scale of Shiruak.
Mm-hmm. As a amulet for Claudia. Young Claudia hugging her mom.
We've got the inverted Shimmer Crow.
Mm-hmm. Ah, true. Also. Ellen caring for Jane.
It's cute looking after her in bed.
Yeah, true.
And we have Sir Sparklepuff.
Yes. Nice.
Just one thing on the last scale of Shirouac, just to remind us and people, Claudia found it in the vault in the Storm Spire. And she was just like, oh, pretty, and took it with her. That's about it. Yeah, it's crazy stuff going on. Slightly disappointed, like I said, about some of the storytelling here.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting and exciting, but it feels again a bit slow because we've only got 3 episodes left until the end of the season.
And the end of the series so far, as we
exactly
know.
At end of the series as we know it.
Yeah.
And again, because I went on this little rabbit hole and looking at past episodes and ratings and stuff, I just remembered how amazing it was at the end of season 3, before it became the mystery of Erebos, and that it was so good. And it's definitely had, like, it's had good episodes since and stuff. Like, the last season, this, with Viren sacrificing himself and stuff, that was, like, high class stuff, like really exciting, really deep themes. I'm missing that a little bit, I have to
also,
say.
Also a little bit in the first chapters of this book, there was some good moments, like WTF moments.
Yeah. WTF.
WTF.
Yeah.
What the fuck moments. But yeah, it's... What about Zubeya and the mushroom guy?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So many arcs not finished and only 3 episodes left.
Yeah.
How does it work?
Yeah. Yeah. So I on that note, I really hope that they're going to manage to do the Dragon King because it feels clear that not everything's going to be wrapped up by the end. Or it feels like that right now. And yeah, that they really like go for it then.
Is this another Game of Thrones series?
I hope not.
Oh dear.
No, it's not that bad.
Okay.
As the last season. I think also the expectations aren't as high as for the Game of Thrones.
For me? Stuff. Yes.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's interesting because, you know, we started watching this together when just the first season was out and we didn't know where all this was going to go. And it was just immediately clear that it's something that we like and are passionate about. And we had no idea which direction it was going to take, you know?
Hence this podcast.
And I still think it's still worth it, you know?
Yeah.
I listened to a podcast when I was watching The Walking Dead, and by the end the podcast guys, they were just complaining the whole time about everything. And I'm glad it's not gotten to that stage yet.
Yeah.
I'm still enjoying it, and I still want to continue, and yeah, love the world, love the universe,
totally.
And
I love also doing this podcast with you.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if we're slow sometimes, we do it when we can. And
life happens.
We are passionate about it.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. All right. Then we're done for today.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening. And we'll look forward to making our next episode as soon as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Until then, take care and have a good one.
Have a good one. And happy holidays. And have a happy new year.
Have a happy new year.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Thank you and goodbye.
Bye. yeah, it's all right, I'm gonna shuffle my notes.